This is The Science Show, which this time brings you good plastic, costly carbon storage, heart repair, fishes that think they're farlap, and the tropical challenge of our region. And there's also a farewell to the dinosaurs. What more do you want? Professor Andrew Holmes is one of the gentlemen of Australian public affairs. He's a solar scientist specialising in organic technology. That's the kind you can print like cloth. He's Emeritus Professor of Chemistry at the University of Melbourne, and he's just stepped down at the end of his term as President of the Australian Academy of Science. Let's meet him. Well, Andrew Holmes, congratulations on serving as President for all these years.
It's a four-year term, Robin, and it's been a joy every day.
A joy every single day. Well, because of successes. What really would you list as some of the successes you've had over the last few years?
Well, when I, almost 4 years ago, was asked what I'm going to do, and I hadn't even thought about it, I said, well, I think we have to learn to communicate with our political leaders. And I don't think our dialogue with our political leaders is very good. And by the graces of good fortune, we have had that opportunity. And certain ministers have been very willing to communicate. When Minister Hunt consulted the Academy about the advice to CSIRO, he let us know that he was going to do this, and I was invited to meet him personally. And he pulled out a document and said, what do you think of this? And I had to speed read it. I said, Minister, this is exactly what we were thinking ourselves. And I put it in my bag. He said, you can't take it away. He said, I haven't even released that yet. I thought that was fantastic trust, that the minister was working with us at that level. And that's the kind of ambition that I'd set myself.
At one of your dinners, I think a couple of years ago, the chief scientist, Alan Finkel, gave two pieces of advice. He said, when scientists in some sort of office go to see a minister, do not, in your first statement, ask for money. And secondly, do imagine that you have other people, other scientists, who are representing themselves. So have a unified voice instead of 400 cacophonies.
I remember that very well. And I'm reminded also that Ian Chubb said that Mr. Costello, when he was treasurer, said, you're just like little birds in a nest with our mouths open, waiting to be fed. And so I think that has actually been a guiding advice. Don't go with your mouth open, waiting to be fed. And Robin Batterham said to me once, if you have something to suggest, do it on the way out and say, oh, by the way, have you thought of this?
These are all chief scientists, of course. Go on, what are some of the other achievements?
Yes, well, so communicating with political leaders was the first thing, but communicating with the general public, because everyone says, what's the Academy of Science? Where are you based? So we have had a relatively low profile, and that's our own fault, but it's also partly because we're specialists. And I think the greatest thing we've done is the Academy video project, www.science.org/curious, or anywhere on the social media. And we've reached a huge number of people by communicating science simply in 1.5 minute videos.
Is it a good idea to be so brief? 1.5 minutes. What can you talk about Einstein in 1.5 minutes?
Well, we've heard about that in fewer, a bit more than 1.5 minutes today. But the idea is it's backed up with a bit like those Russian dolls. They can open layer by layer and they can go back to the peer-reviewed article ultimately if they want to follow it up in detail. And that's really important. It has to be backed up by good science that they can read themselves.
How do you know it's working?
The simple measures, and I don't know, it's a really good question. I ask our communications team all the time, how do we know that our strategy overall is successful? What are the measures? The simple measures are that when we started, we had 9,000 Facebook followers. Before we started, we now have 250,000. That's the best statistic I can give you. That means somehow 250,000 individuals know who we are.
What about the regrets? In 4 years, there might have been a couple, perhaps?
Yes, we had a few things that are on the horizon. For example, I think, and now this is purely personal, I don't have the authority to speak on behalf of the Academy about this, but I think we need advice from an external group. So I think it would be good to have an advisory group that's completely external to the Academy of interested people, ideally who would be able to give us resources to do something if we wanted to, but that's not the prime purpose. The prime purpose is to receive advice from them. We're working towards it. We haven't achieved it. So it'll be one of the great achievements for my successor, I hope.
Well, of course, one of the main things about the Academy of Science is it's a professional group. It's not a club. Well, it's not meant to be a club. And one of the achievements, it seems to me, as an observer and participant on many occasions, is now in 2018, you have a tremendous variety of people. Young, one of the youngest, Geordie Williamson, joined this week, 36, the youngest ever. You've got people from all over the world. Well, they were born in various places, and you've got plenty of women, unlike the old days, when one of the cliches, I hate to repeat it, but you used to be able to say that you qualify to be a fellow of the Academy of Science when your prostate is larger than your brain.
I think I'm about that stage now, so I've surely made it. But you've reminded me of that other achievement, and it was started, of course, by Suzanne Corey as president, and underpinned by the initiative of Brian Schmidt and Nalini Joshi. But I had the good fortune to ride on the back of the horse to allow us to participate in two things. One is the Science in Australia Gender Equity Initiative, which was to give the opportunity for senior women to be recognised and promoted. We're on a very long journey, to use the cliche, to that target, but we're moving in the right direction, so that's good. That's been a wonderful thing to be participating in. And also we've set ourselves the objective as an academy in the short term, at least to have a fellowship which has as many senior women as a percentage of the population in the academic and research community. We're not there yet, I think. If I can quote a figure, we have 13.6% of our fellowship now who are women, but we've been electing an average of 30 to 33% over the last 4 years, and a number of senior women in professorial kinds of positions is about 20.6%. And of course, all of us ultimately should be reflecting the diversity of our community in the academy, both in gender and in all other kinds of diversity, and that's a long-term objective.
Congratulations, and a final personal question. What do you think your father would have made of your position as president over the last 4 years?
You're going to crack me up, Robin. Really, this is where I break. You must have been tipped off about this. My dad was a research scientist in CSIRO, and I'm going to get quite emotional, but I'm still going to tell you. He died of polio in the 54 polio epidemic, and I was the oldest son, and I wanted to emulate him. This academy was founded in 1954, and I would be thrilled if he knew that I was a fellow.
Thank you very much, and congratulations again.
Thank you, Robin.
A father's legacy and a tribute. The new president is Dr. John Shine of the Garvan Institute. And I was talking then to the man who's just stepped down as the president of the Academy of Science, Professor Andrew Holmes, whose field is organic solar, the kind you can print.